At this time, then, I'd like to turn to our scripture reading. We have two passages to read today. First one is taken from Revelation chapter 21, verse 2 and verse 11. And the second passage is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 33. So once again, that's Revelation chapter 21, verse 2 and 11, and Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 33. And if there's somebody next to you who doesn't have a Bible, if you can share one with them, that would be greatly appreciated. And when you have found that passage in your Bibles, if you can all please rise, and I will read the passage. Please follow along. Again, the first passage is Revelation chapter 21, verse 2 and 11. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. Verse 11. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. The second passage, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 33. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds it and cares for it, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. Our message today will be given by our senior pastor, Reverend Caleb Wong, and the title of his message is The Goal of God's Church. I'd like to invite Reverend Wong up.
This morning, I would like to share with you an important topic. What is the goal of God's church? Or what is the goal of our CCC? What is the purpose of our ministries? What is our vision? This is a very big topic, but this morning I will say part of it from one special angle. First of all, the crucial concept, goal of church should not be decided by people, not decided by any committee, because it has already been decided by God himself, by the Holy Bible. So we should ask, what is God's purpose for his church? What does the Bible teach about God's church, about the purpose of God's church? We just read from Revelation chapter 21. The Bible says, in eternity, in the new heaven and the new earth, the church is described as the holy city, the new Jerusalem, but also as the bride of Christ. There is a goal God has already intended. The church should become the bride of Christ. Church is like a person, the bride of Christ. Of course, another important description on Revelation 21:11. The church is filled with God's glory. It shines with the glory of God. So what is God's purpose for His church? God wants to build a glorious church. His church should become the glorious bride to match His Son, the glorious Lord Jesus Christ. God wants RCCC to become a glorious church, or at least a part of His glorious church, to glorify God. This is our main goal. This is set by God Himself. And also we should remember, God Himself is the great builder. Church is not built by us. We are only His vessel, being used by God, work together with God, under God's leading, build up a glorious church to glorify Him. So in the Bible, we found out many, many passages. What is the purpose of a Christian living? Glorify God. What is the purpose of a church? Glorify God. God Himself keep building up His church. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit works together. God the Father chose us before the creation. He intended that the church, the manifold wisdom of Him, can be revealed through the church. Let all the rulers, the authorities, can know God's power. God the Son, Jesus Christ, when He came to the earth, He said, "I will build My church on this rock." Jesus kept building His own church until now. Jesus asked the Father. The Father sent the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, live among us, move among us, keep leading us, so church can become more like what He wants us to be, the glorious church. This morning, I would like to share very simple, very briefly, what is a glorious church? What are the main characteristics of a glorious church? There are many descriptions in the Bible, but this morning we have limited time, so I only want to mention what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22nd to 33, what we just read. Ephesians chapter 5 is used more often in the wedding ceremony, not during the Sunday service. But when Paul wrote these passages, his primary purpose was for the Sunday service, because Paul said, "This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church." The key idea of this passage is in verse 27. I will read it again for you. Verse 27, Paul says, "And to present her to Himself," present the church, "Christ Jesus, keep working in the church, would like to present the church to Himself as a radiant church, without blemish, like stain or wrinkle. Christ will present the church to Himself as a radiant church." This is the key idea of this concept, this parable. Christ would like our church to become a radiant church. Another translation for a radiant church is a glorious church. New Living Translation, King James Version, and other Bible translation use a glorious church. Our Lord Jesus, working in the church, He wants the church to become a glorious church to match Himself. Christ does not only want to build a church, but He wants a glorious church. There are two metaphors in this paragraph. The first, husband and wife, and the second, head and body. Actually, those should be one paragraph, because husband and wife should become one person. One person has head and body. Therefore, Paul used husband and wife, head and the body, as the metaphors to illustrate what a church should be. Therefore, just like a husband does not only want a wife, but he wants an excellent wife. A head does not only need a body, but it needs a healthy body. So also our Lord Jesus Christ, He does not only need a church. Now I want you to answer me. He wants what kind of church? A glorious church. The purpose is to be filled with God's glory, then manifest God's glory, and thus can glorify God. From Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 to 33, we can find out three main descriptions of a glorious church. From verse 27 we just read, without blemish. If a church is qualified as a glorious church, should be without blemish. And the second thing, in verse 27, Paul says, Christ is the head of the church. Just like husband is the head of his wife. The third thing, Paul says, we are members of Christ's body. We are many different members, but many different members can form a healthy body. So in these passages, Paul used three descriptions. What is a glorious church? The first thing, without blemish. The second thing, Christ is the head. The third thing, we are members. I will elaborate one by one. The first thing, without blemish. What does it mean, without blemish? From the context, we can find out without blemish means holiness, means holy. If we have something is unholy, this is not a glorious church. A glorious church, we should pursue holiness. Paul mentioned two main spiritual blemishes. There are many things, probably all are blamable. Two most important things. The first thing is stain. Without stain, stain means we were defiled by sin again. Stain, just like the church of Corinth. The Corinthian Christians, they are Christians, but they still live in sins. They have jealousy. They strive, have immorality. they have lawsuit against brothers. Lots of things not living according to God's will. If we still lie to other people, if we still hate someone, if we still cheat other people, we are blamable. We have stain in our life. But very important, there are two kinds of stain. One is outside conduct. Another is inside thoughts. The outside one is easy to deal with, but the inside one is very difficult. Just like a boy, if he falls down on the ground and his clothes become dirty, this is easy to be solved. Put into the washing machine, you can clean it. What is inside problem? Just like a boy addicts himself to drugs, then he was controlled by the drug. He cannot get free from it. Our problem, not only the outside conduct, but our inside thoughts. Actually, all outside conducts is an expression of our inside thoughts. Why Cain killed Abel? Because inside jealousy. Why Saul killed David? Because the inside jealousy. Why David commit adultery? Because the inside lust. We commit outside conducts because our inside thoughts. Our outside conducts, we need repent. Of course, come to the Lord. Ask His forgiveness. Ask our Lord Jesus' blood cleanse us again. But how to deal with our inside thoughts? How can our thoughts be purified? This is very important. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. Paul tells us the secret. I will read to you. To make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. The washing through the word. What does it mean? The water washing stands for the work of Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit come like water, cleans us. But how the Holy Spirit can come to work in our heart? Through the Word. Through God's Word. God's Word is God's thought. Only God's thought change our thought. We can have inside purification. How can our mind can get clean? Be purified. The Bible tells us by His word. Dear brothers and sisters, I encourage many, many times, read your Bible every day, not only listen to the preaching on Sunday. Go home, arrange your schedule, study about your Bible every day, and communicate with God. Pray to God. Use the word from God. When God's word comes to your thought, pray to God. Ask God, change your mind. Change your mind, then will change your conduct. Will change your way, then you can be holy. This is what very important. A glorious church. All the people in the church hate sins. We don't want to commit sins. If we still live in sins, this is never a glorious church. If you still hate someone, if you still cheat, still lie, still have jealousy, you envy someone, come to the Lord, ask Him, change your mind. read his Bible, ask the Holy Spirit, walking through the Bible, change your mind. Then you can be clean from the stain, from the stain of sin. Brothers and sisters, this is the education department in the church would like to help every people. Not only you read your Bible in your home, come to church after Sunday service from 11 to 12:15, we arrange some Bible study for you. We have some Bible classes. I hope you have the desire. I would like to absorb more God's words. I would like to understand more God's words. So I hope after the service, go to the Sunday service instead going to the Starbucks. Lots of people go over there. That's the wrong direction. Go to the classroom to study your Bible, to get more teaching from the Lord. Those teachers, they prepare very hard. Whole week, they prepare what they can offer to you. If you don't go, they do their work in vain. So I do encourage each one of you, if you cannot start from today, probably from next week. Maybe you already have some appointment, go to Starbucks. I cannot stop you. Next week, don't make any arrangement unless go to the classroom. That's important. The second thing is wrinkle. Paul specially mentioned wrinkle. I think it's very interesting, very important. Actually, everyone gets old, has wrinkle. I don't think you have. All people here are too young to have wrinkle. I have some now. A wrinkle is not a bad thing. It's manifest the experience of life. Through some difficulty, a struggle through life. But wrinkle at least signify it's getting old. Someone getting old, easy losing memory, forgetting things. Wrinkle means getting old. In the context, Paul was describing husband and wife, Christ and church. The most important factor between husband and wife is love. Love is something you should try to keep it fresh. Love is something you have to manage it so that the love will not fade away. It's very easy. Love will fade away if you do not pay attention to it. Those people, they are falling in love when they walking on the street, always hold other people's hand. Is that right? Probably this is your experience right now. Hold hands. They don't want to lose their hands. But when you get married, after 10 years, one walk in the front, another in the back, and the one in the back yelled, slowly, slowly, and the one in the front, quickly, quickly. Forget. They don't want to hold hand anymore. One time I was invited to a big city to preach. They put me in a hotel, and they assigned a couple to drive me to church and go back to hotel. Assign a retired couple. They are old, nothing to do, so come to pick me up every day, three times a day. The husband drives, the wife sits in the back, I sit beside the driver. The lady, the old lady, she walks very slow, do everything very slow. So each time we have to wait for her. Always she was the last one get into the car. The husband used always tell her, hurry up, why so slow? One time, before she get inside, the car is moving. So the wife yelled at her, at him, you want to kill me? And the husband yelled back, why always wait for you? When they argue with each other, they forgot I was sitting beside them. Then find me was here. The husband said to me, oh, I'm sorry. Well, we are getting old. We are getting old. When we were young, we were not like this. I always go to the other side, open the door for my wife, and help her sit in, close the door. Then I come back to this side to drive the car. Now I am getting old. Don't get old. Forget the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. When the love of Christ fills our heart, then you know to love our brothers, our sisters. If church without love is a terrible church, just like the church in Corinth, have all other things except love. Paul says, that's nothing. It's no meaning at all. The church must feel God's love, feel Christ's love, so we can love each other. This is a glorious church. Without love, we just like some other association. We can do many things, but not a glorious church. Paul warned Ephesian church. The book of Ephesians was written in AD 61 when Paul was a prisoner in Rome. Paul warned them, don't forget Christ's love. Don't forget to love each other. This is the key issue. Paul said, if without love, just like we have wrinkles, we forgot the most important thing. Unfortunately, the church of Ephesus, they did forget this love. After 35 years, AD 96, Apostle John wrote Revelation. Lord Jesus asked John to write 7 letters to different churches. The first one to the people in Ephesus. Give them very good comments. But only one thing our Lord Jesus said, you got to repent. Otherwise, I will take the lampstand outside from you. The church cannot shine anymore. Only one thing is they lost the first love. The first love to Christ. From Christ's love, we can love brothers and sisters. Therefore, all of us remember the love of Christ should fill our heart all the way. And the love steer us to love Christ. Also, love brothers and sisters. The second thing Paul described the church. Christ is the head of the body, just like husband is the head of the church. The head has many meanings. I just mentioned 4 important ones. The first, the head is the most important part of a person. If someone throw a stone to you, I think you will stop it by your hands. Anyone use your head? I don't think so. That's not soccer. Don't use your head. Protect your head. Head is the most important part of the body. We always honor our Lord Jesus Christ. Not any person in this church. Not any person in your small group. Always honor Christ Jesus. Not someone's gift is so great, so we want to honor him. We want to follow him. That's the wrong idea. In the church, only Christ, for Christ, serve Christ, honor Christ, preaching Christ. We all here dedicate our life to Christ. That's the very important thing. And the second, the head is representative of the person. I think you all have driver's license or passport. Your picture, you put what part of your body on the picture? Your hands? Oh, this is Caleb Huang. Who can know your hands? You got to put your head. Head is representing you, the whole person. Christ is our representative. We have to do everything for him. We want to let Christ be known in this world. And the third, the head is the control center of the person. The head gives orders. Now, the mouth got to preach, so I'm speaking. Or the head say, stretch out your arm, so I stretch out. Move your arm, so I move. Stop, stop. Move again. Stop. If I don't obey, what will happen? I will be in trouble. I will keep preaching and moving my hands until it cannot move. Got to stop. That's the head. The head controls the whole body. Our Lord Jesus Christ controls you, controls me, not someone else. Ask our Lord Jesus, what should I do in the church? Lord Jesus, what is my role in the church? Don't treat other people, any people, more important than our Lord Jesus Christ. Dear brothers and sisters, this is a glorious church. Otherwise, it's just like an organization, human organization. We listen to the chairperson of the board. We listen to the general manager. No, that's wrong. So come to our Lord Jesus. Ask his order. Follow his leading. This is very important. The fourth, the head is the source center. It's supply center. The plan, the idea, the knowledge, the wisdom, everything comes from the head. Source is very important. The source of electricity supplies the light. The source of heating system brings us heat. The source of church, every source of church, the power, the wisdom from our Lord Jesus Christ. He gave us love, truth, holiness, righteousness, wisdom, power, joy, peace, everything. I encourage brothers and sisters, you should pay attention to your prayer life. Not only sit down, plan. Of course, we need to sit down to plan. But look up to him. Ask him to lead us. Ask him to do mighty work through us. Only his power fill our hearts. Work through us. We can accomplish his work. Jesus Christ, Son of God, our Savior, the head of the church, is the center of the church. We come to Him not only your personal prayer life, so I also encourage you, but I don't expect everyone will do that. Wednesday night, we have prayer meeting. If you cannot come every week, I hope once a month. Once a month is, you should try to come. Pray with other co-workers. Pray with our dear brother and sisters. We work together. Seek together our Lord's will and rely on Him. If you can come every week, that's very good, but I don't think it's easy. Try to mark down on your calendar once a month. Come to the church. Pray with other co-workers. Try to let Him use us, use you in the building up of His glorious church. Now the last thing, the Bible says, Paul says, we are members of Christ's body. Anybody has different members. We have hands, have legs, have eyes, ears, nose, mouth, different members. Three things very important. The first, all the members has connection. Members need to connect to each other. The second, every member has its function. The third, different members should cooperate together. Cooperative. So, connection, function, cooperation. This is the member. Connection, I think this is very simple. The whole body, we have blood system, nerve system, we can connect the whole body. If you use a rope, you tie up your finger, not too long, you will lose the sense. You cannot sense anything because it's disconnected. Needs connection. We not only need connection, we have function, what our role, and we need cooperation. When we say connection, that means you really pray for other people, care for other people, you really help other people, or being helped by other people. This is the function of the small group. We not come to the Sunday service, but I encourage all of you join one small group. The small group can fit your age, can fit your situation, so you can share your problem with other people. Other people can pray for you. If the member disconnect, it's a very terrible thing. If I take down my watch, I want to see what time I left. Oh, I still have 7 minutes. Okay, I take down my watch, nothing terrible. Even I take down my glasses, nothing terrible, right? But if I gouge out my eyeball, that's terrible. If I cut down my hand, that's terrible. The member should connect to each other. So if you never attend a small group, I hope you try to find one. If you say, I cannot find one, after the service, go to Pastor John. Ask him, which group I can go? Join one group. Then you can share your burden. You can help other people's burden. Now, function. We know everybody has our function. The eyes for seeing, ear for hearing, nose smelling, mouth for eating or talking, I don't know. But I think eating is more important. Leg for walking. Each one of you, God put some function inside of you. What is a glorious church? You just function yourself. In the church, you just do the part the Lord wants you to do. If you say, I don't know what I can do, or I don't know which part needs me, again, after the service, go to whom? Pastor Jiang, he's on the first row, okay? Now always go to Pastor Jiang, I think he will be very, very busy. Or maybe go to someone else. You ask, what? I want to do something. I have the gift from God. I want to serve. So when you come to our brothers and sisters, they will let you play your role. That's the very important thing. If you keep using your gift, you can become more useful. A pianist, he keeps practicing, his fingers can play much better. A swimmer, he keeps practicing, he can swim better. If you want to serve, during the serving process, the Lord will grant you grace. You will grow. This is the truth of the Bible. Now the last thing, cooperation. All members, we just do things together. If no cooperation, it's very terrible thing, very terrible thing. We will fight with each other. We will against each other. If we can cooperate, just like a body, the Lord's work can be accomplished. If I'm hungry, I want to eat something, the first thing, my leg should walk to the kitchen. I don't think you go to the study room, nothing to eat there. Go to the kitchen. Then your eyes got to look for something good. Your nose to smell something, a good flavor. Then your hands take the food. Then your mouth eats the food. Cooperate. Something can be done. If your hands take the food and put into your eyes, I think you got in trouble. You cannot see. You cannot go back. Each member just do your part, but all the members work together. We can accomplish big things. Our Lord Jesus gave us great commission. That is a very great task. Not one person can finish. No any church can finish. All the churches, all the church members, we work together so the gospel of Christ can be proclaimed to the end of the earth. The gospel of Christ can be proclaimed in our neighborhood, in this community. The gospel of Christ can be preached in the central New Jersey. This is the purpose of the Lord, the task of the Lord. Not one person, 10 person, 100 can finish. The whole church work together. We just cooperate. The Lord will use us. May the Lord bless our triple C. What is our goal? Our goal to be used by God to build up a glorious church, a part of His glorious church, to glorify Him. This is the whole goal, but how to achieve it? Many, many different ways. So we have worship department. Honor Lord Jesus Christ. Honor God our Father. We have education department teaching God's words. We have mission departments spread the gospel until the end of the earth. We have caring department, small group or visitation to help every member. We have serving department. We serve together. Hope the Lord bless His church. Shall we pray? Dear God, our Heavenly Father, your plan, your purpose is so high, but we have the heart, even it's very high. We would like to rely on your grace, on your power. Day by day, gradually, we can achieve the goal. Commit ourselves unto your hand. Use us and bless us. I pray in Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Shall we all stand? After benediction and silent prayer, you are dismissed. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.